just wanna use your love tonight.
On a Friday before a Super Bowl. Doesn't get much better than that. Turn up, T-Bone!
Yeah.
Put this on playlist for tomorrow, Jim. I walk in.
Play it.
Yeah, play it. Just play it.
Put it in. Phil Perry of NBC Sports Boston is with us. Hey, Phil.
What's up, boys?
By the way, I'm going to get this out of the way. Football Fix is happening tonight from the Mall of America.
Yes, it
is. Whoa.
6 o'clock, as always.
Wow. Man.
Me, you, Casey
Smith.
Forgot
to tell you that, Hardy.
Good for you. Yeah. Good for you.
Hardy, you think we're not going to give the people their fix for Super Bowl week?
I think this would be a perfect opportunity to, you know, maybe not tonight because you guys have limited space and resources, but when you come back and the Football Fix returns, maybe next season, you do one more this year? Is this going to be
Might do one more next week.
Okay. All right. And then next season you retool it and you turn it into a fix-it shop. The Football Fix is a fix-it shop with old clocks and toasters in the background and you guys wear the big blue aprons. Hey, let's get this football game fixed here.
Retool it, huh?
Yep.
Retool it,
so to speak.
See what you did there.
All right, I want to talk to you, Phil.
Or you could put Beetle up on one of those racks, you know, like going to car shop to get the oil change. They jack the car up. Put Beetle on a hydraulic rack.
Got to check the undercarriage.
You know, fix
yeah, what's
back.
Going on underneath there?
I like that. Yeah, I like that.
Get a loofer out. You know?
Change Beetle's oil.
A loofer.
Loofah.
On a stick. Phil, we tend to talk a lot of X's and O's with Phil Perry.
Yeah,
today
we
I'd like to
do that.
Say leave that to the side.
Oh, come on!
I
now.
Think there
it's
is
a Super Bowl, biggest game of the year.
Yeah, great, terrific.
Oh boy,
I got a question for you. Based on the way things have gone here this week, someone and I have talked about this a little bit off the air. It feels like there might be some sort of change happening in the dynamic of Patriots ownership. Do you sense that at all? And I'm going to tell you why I say this. The rally on Monday, Robert Kraft did not speak. Jonathan Kraft took the microphone and spoke. Jonathan Kraft has made the rounds media-wise this week. He was on this show. He was on NBC Sports Boston. He sat down for the interview with NFL Network. Seems to be out there.
He is.
Very visible this
week.
He is. It feels like he is more visible than he has been in years past. This particular week.
I feel like he's always been relatively visible, right? He's always been part of the equation when it comes to making the media rounds and things like that. But I did notice
that knowing him, I know he doesn't care for the spotlight. He doesn't. He doesn't need it. He doesn't care to be in the spotlight. He doesn't love it. Yeah. He would rather just take the back seat and let Robert be the guy and be out there and be the guy that the fans love. And he's sort of the public face of it.
Because Robert probably does enjoy it a little bit more.
I think he does. Yeah, no, he totally does. And this week, who's been visible? Jonathan's been visible.
You're right.
He's been all over the place.
You're right. So do we read into that and say that's an indication of something happening, or is it just the roles are going to remain the same until, you know, Robert is 85 years old or 100 years old, and it's just Jonathan's going to take on a little bit more media responsibility? I don't know. I think it's a good question. It's an interesting question because what are we doing when we're talking about this football team for the last month or so? What's next? What's after Brady? Yeah. What's after Belichick? What's after the coordinators leave? I think that it's a reasonable conversation to have when it comes to ownership as well.
I said that. I threw that in the other day from an age standpoint. We even talked about that. You know, Robert's no young spring chicken. And, you know, I would say this regarding him, too. The same way that Jonathan answered the Andrea Kramer question about Brady is you don't tell guys when to retire. The players decide when they retire. I think that's sort of it with Robert. When Robert doesn't have the same type of input or feeling or energy to invest in, you know, the demands it takes to be the owner and be front and center, that's when I think that sort of transfer happens. But I think it's been a natural transfer in the works that has been happening for years here.
Right. I mean, there's started that conversation now about the Hall of Fame chances of Robert Kraft after Jerry Jones just got in. And Robert Kraft would seem
like
another owner that's going to get in. I think so, too. And it feels like we're getting to that point. A couple little things this week. I noticed that, you know, Jonathan typically calls Robert Robert. Doesn't refer to him as my dad or talk about him as his dad. This week he's talked about him multiple times. And I say multiple times because we've already put our – we've recorded our interview for Sunday. We sat down and recorded our lengthy interview. Chris Gasper and I have recorded it with Jonathan. And he did and said some of the things in that interview that he also said with Andrea Kramer, talking about how important – his dad is to him as a father and as a person and as a grandfather and as a husband. He talked about it all. And it was very personal, very much like it was very personal in the Andrea Kramer interview. And I thought we were getting a side of these two guys that we don't typically get, which kind of raised the antenna. Like, what's going on here? Is there something more to this week beyond just what's the future for Brady? What's the future for Belichick? What's the future for the structure of ownership? I'm not saying that Robert Kraft's going anywhere,
right,
but maybe at those owners' meetings, Robert's not the guy in the room anymore all the time with Jonathan. It's Jonathan, and he's the guy, and he's the owner in the room.
Right.
And Robert's not out there doing TV deals anymore. He's done his share of the TV deals. Yeah. He's not in there negotiating. I mean, you know, I'm sure he could still help and advise and consult, and he obviously is a guy who brings people together and can get a deal done. I'm sure he could help in those fashion, but he's not putting in the 60 hours a week it takes in some of those negotiations anymore.
I think this time of year, there's a lot of self-reflection. There's a lot of introspection. And so when you hear Jonathan maybe talking about his dad beetle the way you described, that's just kind of natural during Super Bowl week. You get it with a lot of guys, you know, because this is the time of year, A, there's a lot of media availability. And so there are a lot of questions being asked. But you have a lot of guys who do think about the future and what it holds. And so I chalk some of that up, the way he's speaking maybe, to that, to the fact that they're at a Super Bowl again. But you're right. I think these conversations have to be happening. I think there's probably going to be a shift in some responsibility as well. Although I would venture to guess that if Jonathan were here right now, he would tell you, I hope my dad lives to be 125 and he's as involved as ever right up until that moment.
Yeah, but I think it also speaks toward not only what Phil said, you know, just the time of reflection, you know, this is the end of the football year coming up here, but yeah, there's going to be a transition at some point. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. It makes sense that it would happen that way, and you know, even if it's not imminent, if it's not next season or the year after that, it's coming.
Maybe we're getting closer to it.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they know it, and we're starting to sense it ourselves.
Sure.
I'll say this.
We're getting closer to that transition.
The succession plan when it comes to ownership, a lot clearer than it is a coach or quarterback or anywhere else when it comes to this franchise right now.
It's not really much of a transition.
Yeah. I wouldn't think so. I mean, we assume that Jonathan and Robert are in lockstep on most things. I'm sure there are certain things they disagree on. But once again, you don't have this type of success if there's a problem amongst the people who are, you know, in charge of the team.
What's your pick for Sunday?
I think the Patriots win by a touchdown. It's been 27-20. For me, I just think that you're not going to get the same Nick Foles that you got in the NFC Championship game. I think the Patriots will understand how to defend this team. This is a run-first team. We talked a lot about Nick Foles this week. It's a team that wants to control the clock. They want to run the football. I think the Patriots will be able to maybe not sell out quite the way they did against the Titans and Jaguars to stop the run, but they'll have that figured out first. Then you take away some of these easy reads for Foles. Take away Zach Ertz in critical situations, third down in the red zone. Big Patrick Chung game, in my opinion, Zoe.
Yep.
If you can do that, you should be able to hold them to 20 or so points, and I think the Patriots win.
All right, Phil. Thanks for stopping by.
All right,
thanks,
boys.
Pal.
Thanks for having
you.
Me. Good rest of the week.
This week. You can, of course, catch him on NBC Sports Boston Football Fix tonight, 6 o'clock. The CBS Sports Minute brought to you by Spiegel Scrap Metal. John Feinstein has advice for Larry Nassar's attorney. Coming up next, we'll talk to LaDainian Tomlinson.
Live from Minneapolis, Zoe and Beetle. Sponsored by Direct Federal Credit Union. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
In the Ferrari and Jaguar, switching four lanes. Top down, screaming out, money ain't a thing.
Bubble hard in the double law, flashing the rims with the window crack. Holla back, money ain't a thing.
Jigga, I don't like it if it don't gleam. Gleam in the hell with the price, but the money ain't a thing.
Put it down hard for my dogs that's locked in the
This hour of Radio Row coverage from Super Bowl 52 is brought to you by Stop and Shop. Solak and Bertrand on Radio Row. LaDainian Tomlinson is expected to be our guest any minute. Just was told that he is a big Alex Guerrero guy.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know that. It's going to be the first thing I ask him about. Ask him about that. Alex Guerrero, who's been floating around here all week. Yeah. We've seen him in a number of places.
He has been visible.
And LaDainian Tomlinson is making his way over here. When he does get here in a couple of seconds, he'll be sitting in our Big Y World Class Market guest chair. A lot of great guests in the Big Y World Class Market guest chair all week long. And we will welcome him in and get set up. And we'll do the interview right now. LaDainian Tomlinson, NFL Network analyst. Also, you can give him a follow on Twitter, at LT_21. LaDainian, how are you?
I'm great. Doing wonderful.
Look during like you the still week?
Play? you know, I tell people all the time, I probably could, I just don't want to anymore.
Right?
You know, I feel like I can.
You're like Willie. You're the same as Willie McGinnis.
Right.
I played Willie for 5 years.
Right.
I think I was like, Bill Belichick would see Willie and say, Willie, just 12 snaps.
12 snaps.
All you need. 12 third downs, baby.
I mean, he like does look like he can still play.
One or two series.
We work together, so
yeah.
We always, you know, talking about the gym, the workout we do, and I'll tell you, Willie gets after it.
Speaking of Willie McGinnis was the guy that introduced Alex Guerrero to Tom Brady and Patriots players. And from what I understand, you're a big Alex Guerrero guy, right? You credit him with some of the treatments and stuff that you underwent as a player?
Yeah, man. I started working with Alex in 2004. I had this bad, like, groin injury. And Keenan McCardell, who was on our team at the time, said, hey, I got this guy, you know, that you know, he'll come do his thing. And I was like, what thing? He was like, I can't tell you what he does, but it's amazing. And I, nothing else was working.
Right.
So I said, okay, I'll try. And from 2004 through the rest of my career, Alex was my guy.
When you say nothing else was working, so you pretty much saw the trainers, doctors. And see, I just remember when we were playing, and anytime you had anything hurt, it'd be put the ice on it and put the stim machine. We're gonna go ice stim.
Right.
You know, check this out. You're not gonna go in this period. We'll see what we can do tomorrow. And that's the only thing they ever did.
Right.
Excuse
me.
Unless you needed surgery.
Right.
It was ice and stim.
Ice and stim, and then a little ultrasound. You know,
yeah,
ultrasound
is that
the area.
Hot? Is that too hot?
Yeah, exactly. But that was it.
That's it.
Then do some stretching. You know. Yeah.
Have you seen Tom versus Time at all?
I have not. I've seen obviously some of the previews and
so there's
what
one there's one scene where Alex
the
is
stuff it's away from the heart. It's everything's away from the heart.
Rubbing the leg vigorously and Tom is kicking. He's kicking his whole time.
We're supposed
kicking,
to kick.
Kicking, kicking.
Right. Yeah.
You ever do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean
he really gets in there.
It's like the ART, but somehow it loosens up your muscles and your flexibility and all that kind of stuff. That's why I'm saying it's hard to understand. There are certain trigger points, as he talks about, that controls certain muscles. And you know, he taps into those trigger points to help with muscle recovery.
Yeah, I mean, I saw one, too, with TJ Houshmandzadeh. I think he was on Colin Cowherd. He talked about back when, I think, where did he play? Oregon State back in the day?
Mm-hmm.
He said, man, I couldn't do anything with this one hip and this back issue he had. And he said, I went to everybody. And this guy said, you got to see this one guy. He was getting treated by him like he was a sophomore. Said he fixed it, so to speak, in a month and a half.
Yeah.
So he said, for 3 years I've been dealing with this. And Alex figured out a way to where I didn't have the pain. He goes, I wasn't making any money yet, so I didn't have anything to pay him.
Right.
And he just, by his graciousness, he came over and worked on him. And he said, man, the stuff works.
It does.
Works.
It's amazing.
You once had a guy hook a car battery up to you in a parking lot after.
Get out of here.
Oh, yeah. I had a chiropractor. I had this chiropractor. And it's sort of the same stuff.
Car battery.
You know, and it's that. And you're talking about the trigger points with the direct in, you know, stim where they get in there and you're like crying. But he needed the power to do it. And this is, I played in Maryland back in the early 80s, man.
Yeah.
You know, and you really didn't have those portable, nice little units you could put the batteries into. They had to start the car, and he's got the thing wired to the battery.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Pat Swilling hit me.
That's old school.
Pat Swilling sacked me 6 times, and my elbow swelled up to like this. And they said, go ahead. And I said, don't move it. If he didn't get in there and move all that fluid out of it and get in there with those electrodes, I'd have never played it next week.
Wow.
We're talking with LaDainian Tomlinson, Hall of Fame running back. You know, we were talking with Merrill Hodge earlier this week. You're the second running back we've had on this week. Does it feel like the running back as a position in this league is making a comeback? Because there's a lot of good young backs in the league, and I think people are re-emphasizing and re-stressing the importance of the running game.
Well, I think it go in waves, honestly, when you think about it. And here's the thing. When you don't have a really good quarterback, you need a really good running back, you know, to make the game easier for that quarterback. And I think that's what we're seeing. You know, we always talk in the media, us guys, like, who are the elite quarterbacks? And it always comes down to four guys, maybe five, right?
Yeah.
The rest of the guys are right there. They're in their second-tier group of guys. And so everybody is trying to find runners, great runners to help with these quarterbacks until they become the guys that they think they're going to become, elite guys. But if you don't have an elite quarterback, you better have an elite runner.
When you were with the Jets that year, they came up and beat them in the divisional round. You guys had great balance because you had Sanchez as a young player.
Yeah.
You had you had Lavernius Coles, who gave him all kind of fits in the slot.
Yeah.
You had Santonio on the other side, and was it Braylon Edwards, right?
Yeah.
The other split.
Yep.
So that's a damn good balance as a recipe, and you combine that with your defense at that time with Bart Scott and those guys, you know, and Revis. I mean, that your team should have done more.
Yeah, I
agree. If you had the quarterback, right?
I agree.
That's the
balance.
Yeah.
Like,
look at Pittsburgh.
The
talent they got. I mean,
all the talent they have.
Five receivers.
But they are, you know, the defense is not as strong as it used to be.
You can run
even though they're a little bit better than they have been in recent years, but they're not the dominant defense that we're used to seeing in the early 2000s.
Right.
Who do you like on Sunday?
I like the Pats, man. I just think, look, Nick, nothing against Nick Foles.
Something's going to happen in this game.
Nothing against Nick Foles. I just don't think he can beat
Tom
the Patriots.
Brady.
Right. I don't think he can beat the Patriots. And at the end of the day, too much experience, you know, too much in-game adjustments that the Patriots will do. And if you can't adapt and do what they do, then you won't be able to win the game.
Like Brady said too, you know, we're up 18. I can tell we're down 18. I can tell they're exhausted. And we're going to get them at some point. Nobody says that. Nick Foles is not going to be able to fall back on that and say, I've been in five other Super Bowls. I know this day is longer. They're exhausted. We got them where we want them.
Absolutely.
Give me a break.
Yeah. Especially the last 8 minutes in the fourth quarter. That's when Brady just says, all right, it's time.
Yeah.
Here we
Turn
go.
Turn it on.
Yeah.
LaDainian Tomlinson tonight on NFL Network Super Bowl Prime tonight, 9 p.m. and Sunday on NFL Game Day Prime. Following Super Bowl 52, Super Bowl Sunday, 8.5 hours of pregame coverage.
Long hours.
That's a long show, man.
You're not going out tonight. You're not going out
Take
tonight.
Take it easy. Get some rest.
No, man. It'll be all right, though.
Go see Alex.
Alex is in town.
Alex is in town. Go see
here.
Him.
I know. I might need him.
He's at the JW.
LaDainian Tomlinson,
thanks, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
LaDainian Tomlinson here with us on Radio Row. Here's Hardy with headlines.
Sports Hub headlines.
Super Bowl 52, now just 2 days away. Patriots, Eagles in Minneapolis. A lot of people still talking about last year's Super Bowl, but not Coach Bill Belichick.
I don't think last year's game, last year's situations have anything to do with this year's team. It's a different team, and there are a lot of different players on it, and I don't really think it has much relevance. But the games this year, yeah, those guys did what they did. We won some, we lost some. But doesn't really matter. We haven't played Philadelphia, and that'll be a completely different challenge against the Eagles, whatever the situations are in that game, because we haven't faced them before. So that'll be all new for us, and we'll see how we do.
Rob Gronkowski cleared the league's concussion protocol, says he's good to go. Bruins over the Blues last night, 3-1. Tuukka Rask, 32 saves in the win. Goals from David Krejci, Patrice Bergeron, and David Backes. Bees stay home, take on Toronto tomorrow night. Celtics home tonight to play the Hawks. Sean Grady, Cedric Maxwell, the call starting with the pregame at 7 o'clock here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Round two of the Greater Waste Management Open, the Waste Management Phoenix Open, as it's now called. Scott Stallings, Daniel Berger, and Brendan Steele tied atop the leaderboard at 7 under par. Headlines are brought to you by Big Y World Class Market. Hosting guests for the big game, your party isn't complete without a trip to Big Y World Class Market. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
The Mall Food Court, a hotbed of reheated pizza, is now a hotbed of sports talk. Zolak and Bertrand are live at Radio Row in Minneapolis, thanks to Direct Federal Credit Union. On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
1, 2, 3, 1, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 5, 6, 5, 6, 5, 6.
In the end, my life focused around football. It always has been and always will be, as long as I'm playing.
One. Kick is on the way, and it is good!
2, 2.
Kick is good!
I've given my body, my everything, every bit of energy for 18 years to it.
Intercepted!
So if
you're going to compete against me, you better be willing to give up your life.
They have completed the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history.
Because I'm giving up mine.
Six.
Should Julian Edelman be out for the season?
Looks like he cut on it, and it was actually non-contact.
Dante Hightower is out for the season.
Guys, the Patriots defense is the biggest story for me. They're giving up an average of 32 points per game.
Stephon Gilmore called for a defensive hold, it appears.
Bill Belichick is disgusted, just shaking his head.
Belichick waited until the last possible second to trade Jimmy G.
Fast decision, pinpoint accuracy, Jimmy Garoppolo.
No, son of a bitch!
My theory was Bob Kraft was closer emotionally to Tom Brady and told Belichick, you can't trade Tom.
Angry, disillusioned over that decision by the owner.
There have been rumors of friction between Guerrero and the team for a couple of years.
We're so close. You know, he's much more than someone that just works on me.
This about the trainer got out. Somebody wanted to get out.
Patriots will head to the postseason with another first-round bye.
So if you're going to compete against me, give up your life.
Touchdown! Patriots!
12th conference championship game. A seventh straight trip to the AFC championship.
We're going to the Super Bowl, and we're going to win that bitch.
Goes down, catch by Amendola. Turn to the outside. Dives to the end zone.
Tom Brady was involved in his right throwing hand making contact.
Back to the end zone by Danny. It's a catch.
40-year-old quarterback.
They have an average of 32 points per game
for the season. Jimmy G.
Super Bowl
Robert Kraft, along with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, have their 27th playoff win and their 8th conference championship together. They're bound for Super Bowl 52 in Minneapolis against the Eagles. The final score, the Patriots 24 and the Jaguars 20.
Super Bowl Sunday coming up just a couple of days from now. This week went by fast. I'm sure it didn't feel that way for everybody. This is the week where you just count down the days to the game as a fan.
It's been a grind. Like,
come on. I get it. You want the game to happen right now.
Yeah, first 2 days were the worst.
I get it, man.
First 2 days were the worst for us. Yeah, traveling and then settling
I'm talking
in.
About as a fan.
And I am. I'm talking about a fan, too. We're getting to the fans.
No, you're
nice.
Not. You're talking about your hotels.
Right. No,
or
no
your
the
flights,
hotel's fine.
Or your,
flight
your mall or your food court.
The mall's
or...
fine. The food court's fine. Now it's really starting to feel like the game because you got these people starting to pop around.
Yeah.
Like Monday and Tuesday here, this place was dead. It was empty. We're thinking, you know what? It's going to slowly build. Wednesday, I got more. Yesterday was crazy, and today, and I'm telling you, by the time 5 o'clock rolls around, it's going to be packed.
We got some calls on the board. You want to take them?
Sure.
Let's go to Ron.
Thanks for hanging, by the way.
Ron is in Swampscott. Ron.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Ron.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm kind of nervous. It's my first time with you guys, okay?
Me too. Yeah.
Right, here we go. Two things. One, you can still hear me?
Yep.
Okay.
You never called before,
did you? In your opinion, Zoe, Beetle, I have an opinion that the toughest thing to do in professional team sports is to win the Super Bowl. When I hang up in another minute, please give me, I'd like to hear your take. The other thing is, all over the internet, Beatle, there has been the Philadelphia Orchestra playing their fight song and making it like there's no way they can lose. So I came up with a Patriots fight song to Notre Dame. I just want to buy you real quick.
Yes.
Oh,
sure.
Okay. Yep.
For our New England Pats. They've got 9 lives like so many cats. TB12 and all our boys make other teams look just like toys. Though there are those who want us
Notre
to
Dame.
Lose. When
Notre
we
Dame.
Are through, they'll cry in their booze.
Is this your brother-in-law?
Check is leading us. So on with the victory.
Isn't that kind of weird?
Thanks, Ron. Appreciate the call.
Grown men singing 2 and 4 over the phone. Isn't that
kind of weird?
Isn't that kind of weird?
I think he did it naked.
He'd
been rubbing his leg.
Thanks, Ron. Is winning the Super Bowl the most difficult thing to do in sports? In team sports?
I don't know. I don't think so.
It's not easy.
Well, at least in baseball and basketball and hockey, you have a series.
I mean, hockey's a grind, too, man. There's a lot of games in there.
Stanley Cup.
Are we going to do this?
What's that?
2 months.
Yeah, it's a 2 month grind where you're playing every other night.
Yeah.
I think that it's more of a marathon and more of a grind to win a Stanley Cup than it is a Super Bowl. I mean, look at what the Patriots did to be here.
Yeah.
To be here. They beat the Tennessee Titans, and then they had one tough game. They had one hard game, and now they're in the Super Bowl.
And you got to have a hockey. You got to have a goalie that, you know, strikes gold, that just gets hot. Everything's got to come together for you in hockey. I don't know. Is golf a sport?
Well, Maz decided he's going to set up camp here at the table and eat his
soup.
Lunch.
What is soup?
There's not a food court there or anything with hundreds of tables to eat at.
If Maz isn't in the building around like the sports.
No. I would like to know what the reaction would be if one of us came up during Felger and Maz and did what you're doing right now.
Sat down and had a cup of and enjoyed a cup of soup in front of them.
Doesn't bother me you're here.
Yeah.
Okay, at least you admit that.
Maz? Yeah, why are you here so early?
Maz, you can come and sit down in my seat and enjoy
what
your
you
soup.
What you got there? Cup of pizza? Huh?
What's that, mac and cheese?
Like a cup of queso. It's like eating the queso.
Is that baby diarrhea soup?
It is an interesting point that there are 400 tables to sit and dine.
Look how many are open over there.
Maz goes over. There.
Beautiful ones.
Starts knocking microphones and equipment out of the way so he can eat a cup of minestrone.
You got one of his best friends, Matt Smith, at the Not Done Network down there. They got couches and tables and bean bags.
Well,
let's go stick ourselves between a camera and on a stool.
And Maz is just eating his soup and flipping off Steve Burton when he walks by. That's nice.
Yeah, it's not good. Very friendly. Derek in Portsmouth on Arthur Blank.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Good.
Arthur Blank's mad. I mean, why can't that be about coming from 25 points down? Why is it going to be about Arthur Blank? And I love that shot of him holding his wife's hand as his face kind of turns from happiness to disgust. I think they should make a poster out of that. I'll let you go.
Well, okay.
You kind of are. Those GIFs or GIFs or whatever the hell they're called, all over. Him doing the dancing and her, that big frown on her face when they're down on the 20, thinking that their coaches were going to call runs and they're going to run the clock out. Let's hurry up and get down there for the celebration.
Fred and Canton, go ahead.
Freddie.
Hey, guys. What's going on? What's up, Dope? I got a quick question here, kind of a situation to pose, and then I want to get your thoughts. Bill Belichick is a coach that likes to keep all of his guys under his thumb, or at least knowing that if they step out of line off the field, or if they lose their, you know, their competitive play on it, then they're gone. They're either cut or they're benched. So by Jonathan and Robert giving this power to Tom, it's kind of the first time ever that he doesn't really have that power over someone. No, Tom Brady.
He clarified that yesterday, Fred, with us.
Oh, he did. Okay, the interview? I didn't hear that part.
Yeah, he said that's not what he meant by that at all. That he said he was just saying when a player is close to retirement, whether or not he should retire is up to the player. And he said his status is no different than any other player. And I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, like many players, they don't even get to decide when you can't play anymore. Yeah. Someone tells you you can't play, and they move on.
My question was going to be, I didn't know how Bill was going to handle, I mean, how he could even handle that in his own locker room. I don't mean publicly. I mean, like, he's going to go home and be like, Tom Brady can do whatever he wants. I mean, I don't think Brady would have abused that, but I don't think Bill would have been able to handle it. So I was worried. I'm glad that got clarified.
Yeah, he did. He answered the question. He told us. He answered the question in the frame of, if Brady was, like, considering retirement right now, would you tell him retire or not retire? He said, why would I ever get involved in that? It's not my call. He was not talking about years down the road if play drops off and he's told he can't retire anymore.
Right.
You know, can't play anymore. So he said that's his status is no different than any other player. He would never tell any player when to retire, if they should retire, all that, or leave it up to the player. You know, he's saying it just should always be a player's call. Doesn't mean your roster spot is safe forever.
No, which it almost always is. I mean, I'm sure there are conversations that are had with guys. It's like, you know, maybe it's time or not, but I don't envision it happening with Brady.
They have those conversations with guys who are at the end, and they say, "Hey, listen, you're either going to get cut here, you're getting cut. So do you want to retire?" You know,
right.
I mean, I think that's happened with former Patriot players, where they've given them the option.
Yeah,
where they kind of feel they're at the end and
go out with more dignity.
Yes. I'd have liked an option. I didn't get any option.
Well, again, they made the call for you. Coming up next, we have another gift card to give away to Under Armour, so stay tuned for that.
Zoe and Beetle are live in Minneapolis, thanks to Direct Federal Credit Union on the home of the game, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Lito missed the boat that day, he left the shack, but that was all he missed.
Collar 20. well to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a $100 gift card to the Under Armour Brady House on Boylston Street. Under Armour makes you better, Boston. That's caller 12 at 617-931-0985. You will win that $100 gift card to Under Armour. Coming up in the Big Y World-Class Market Guest Chair, we are expecting Louis Anderson to join us momentarily.
Zoe doesn't know what to do with this.
I didn't think I would be saying that.
He looks like Kathy Bates.
But here I am. Here
looks
I am
like Kathy Bates in Misery.
Just that.
Yeah.
This hour
good
of
call.
Coverage from Radio Row is brought to you by Stop and Shop. All right. I mean, you ready for this, Zoe?
Kind of.
I watched last night.
I'm not a massive fan.
Last night, we went back after dinner, after the pullover by the police. After we went back to the hotel, I watched three episodes of the show that he's currently on with Zach Galifianakis, which is Baskets.
Yeah.
And Louis Anderson plays Zach Galifianakis' character, Chip. She plays Chip's... sorry. He plays Chip's mother.
Yes.
In the show. And it is brilliant.
Kind of weird?
Brilliant. It's not weird. It's hilarious. So we're going to talk about that. That's what we're going to do. Anyone see Louis Anderson?
No.
2 minutes? Okay, good. We got 2 minutes.
Okay.
So we'll take some calls between now and then. Mark, who's in the car, go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you today?
Hi.
I'm calling from the heart of Eagles territory here in PA, but I am a lifelong Pats fan, first-time caller, long-time listener. I wanted to ask you guys about how you think New England is going to counter the Eagles' defensive line rush, given that the Eagles can effectively rotate their front four and get an effective pass rush. I think that the Pats can throw on the linebackers in the secondary, but what do you think the Pats are going to do to counter that pass rush for the Eagles?
I think you help out with the tight ends. You know, tight ends are such good blockers. You use Gronk in the run game. You could go 12 personnel, and you're going to have Dwayne Allen in the game. He'll stay in if you want to get Gronkowski out in the route. And you got Skarnecchia, you know, to make adjustments as they go. You could slide to guys. You have backs that could pick up guys, you know, to help chip on them. So you got to figure out where Fletcher Cox is. I think that's the guy. You know, they say Bill Belichick will take one thing you do well and take them out of the game. And for them, defensively, it's Fletcher Cox. Fletcher Cox, oh, my God, what happened to her hair?
Is that Katy Perry?
No, that's Jenny McCarthy.
Oh, it is Jenny McCarthy. Oh, because there's Donnie. That makes sense. It would be odd if it were Katy Perry walking around with Donnie Wahlberg.
Right.
Yeah, she dyed her hair blue.
Yeah, right. For the Pats.
Nice color.
For the Patriots.
Is that a Patriots blue?
I hope so.
Doesn't look all that blue.
It doesn't look all that blue. We're going to be talking to them coming up in a few minutes.
All right. Here's Louie.
Yeah, oh, I love it.
This is great.
We'll welcome him in.
Louie Anderson is sitting down with us right now here on Radio Row, Mall of America, Bloomington, Minnesota.
Not Minneapolis. We're in Bloomington as we finally got around to
Louis Anderson, this is his hometown, so he'll be able to tell us exactly where we are and what's going on here.
All right, what is going on? Well, first of all, we're in the Mall of America, and this is, look at the fans here. We have three rows of all the way down, if you've noticed.
You sure do.
And it's just so nice, very heartwarming, and really fun.
Are you a hometown hero?
I don't know if a hero. I'm their fat guy. I'm the guy who represents all the fat guys and fat women here.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm the fat representative of Minnesota in the five-state area. I'm so fat. I was able to get in. No. Yeah, you know, this is a great place. These are the people who taught me how to do stand-up comedy, and these are the people who really... They believed in me before anybody anywhere else believed in me. These clubs and the crowds. You know, there are more theater seats here than anywhere outside of broad New York City.
You're kidding.
Wow.
Yeah, people don't realize the very sophisticated audience, cosmopolitan place that until you get here and get into it, you don't know that.
Huh. Well,
the leader in healthcare, the leader in recovery and, you know, the Hazleton and all the treatment stuff, that was all started here.
Yeah.
You know, and You know, this is a great place. This is a great place to grow up, freeze your butt off, and then get to a warmer climate.
Yeah,
exactly. Do the people here have a good sense of humor? Because they're just so nice. Everyone here is so nice.
Yes, they are overly nice. That's our thing. We're going to knife you to death. You know where a lot of cities, they'll knife you to death?
Yes.
We will knife you to death.
Right.
And people will start whining. Don't stop being so nice. Damn it. People can only take nice so long before they go, what's up with these people?
Well, do people eventually snap because they've been nice for so long and then they just crack and they can't do it anymore?
Yes.
That happened.
Three snapped on the way up here. I saw them. They were in a. They started buying candles at the candle store.
What was the food that you sold at McDowell's when you were in coming to America?
I sold all the McDoubles, McDowell doubles.
Right.
I sold all the. We had one off of the McDonald's thing, like the Big Mac. We had the big, you know, Mick.
The big.
Do you remember that? That's right. You know, we got, and John Amos, he was the manager. And here's a little story that people don't know about. My manager ran into Eddie, and we're doing Coming to America 2.
What?
Yeah, that's what Eddie told my manager. Hello. Coming to America 2.
I can't wait.
Is coming. Eddie is
Do
going
people
to
know
bring,
this? Are we breaking some sort
I don't
of
know.
News?
I know it.
That's
I mean,
awesome.
Unless my manager's lying to me again.
That would be awesome.
So, is that possible?
Did you advance to like a store? Will you be a store manager or a store
I
owner?
Would like to be in the same position. I think that's the funny. Don't you think that's the funny thing?
Yes.
40 years working behind the counter.
Or I have a son and he's in that position and I'm still, he's ahead of me. He's the manager.
Right.
I don't know.
You're still
Eddie
on fries.
Listen, Eddie is a great guy and a great writer and great. He's great. He knows how to make movies. And
I feel like he. You know, found his, you know, his sweet spot in certain movies, and he kind of has gotten away from it.
Did you see Mr. Church?
Yes,
serious?
I have not seen it.
Beautiful movie, if you get a chance to see it.
I think you found your sweet spot in Baskets.
I did. Thank you very much.
My wife is obsessed with it. I haven't watched every episode like she has.
It probably frightens you, though.
No, it does. Let me tell you something. And Beetle and I were talking about this before. The fact that you play Chip and Dale's mom without... going over the top. You're dressed as a mother, but you don't do like a voice. You don't go over the top with mannerisms. I mean, for a lot of people who grew up in the Midwest, it reminds them, like, oh, that's mom.
Yeah. Here's the great thing. I just try to make Louis Anderson disappear in the part, you know?
Yeah.
I really try to, like, how can I not be there mugging or doing any of the comedy stuff? How can I just be there as a human being? I just try to play the part. Like my mom, she had a lot of humanity and love, and I just tried it, and she had a little mean streak.
Hardy and I were talking about
all
this
moms
morning.
Have a little mean streak.
Oh, do you think?
A mom, like I, here's a mother's look. Now you can't see it at home, but here's a mother's look if a kid's screwing up 100 yards away. You know they have that, and you know it. You know they're looking at you. You know your dad could never control you from a distance, but all your mom had to do is give you that disappointing glare.
Hardy and I talked this morning. We were talking about the show, how there's also an element of physical comedy in it.
Yes,
and
that
one
is
of the,
a genius,
one
of, you know,
yeah,
physical comedy.
And one of the early episodes, spitting out of the drink and saying, that hit the spot. You just lose it.
You know, that was a mistake, right?
No.
I thought I'd be able to down the whole drink. And at halfway through, I went, I'm not going to make it. And so I tried to save the take. That's what I was going for. And they used it. I was shocked.
Well, we were talking about it also and how it kind of brings up the uncomfortability of the fact that you grow up, you develop and all that stuff, but for some reason your parents, they reach a certain stage where they just stop. And they're always the same. And that's kind of what, like, you know, the mother is like on that show.
Well, it's Tuesday nights at 10 o'clock on FX. I hope people will watch it. Go to Hulu and watch the first two seasons. And now there's a book coming out all about my mom called Hey Mom.
Oh, good.
Which is the letters I wrote to my mom after she passed away. And when I started doing this particular part to tell her what I was doing. And it's go to louiebook.com if you want to get an advanced copy.
Fantastic.
Louis Anderson, thanks for
thanks
coming
so
by.
Much.
Appreciate
Louis.
It.
Thank you,
man. Right. Louis Anderson with us on Radio Row. What do you got? You got something else?
Super Bowl. What do you guys have?
Oh, we're Patriots guys.
We're Patriots flagship station.
All right. Louie Anderson with us. We've got Donnie Wahlberg and Jenny McCarthy coming up next on Zolak and Bertrand.